My balls was hot. 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 My balls was hot.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to be. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
And welcome to another episode of Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Big Country, as always. And unfortunately, not on the other end of the mic tonight is my co-host, Boya. That is because he had predetermined plans for his daughter's birthday, so we're not going to rag on him. And this is kind of not our normal recording hours, but we had to get this guy in so he could come in and talk to us about what he does, because I was so intrigued by it. I was so very interested in it. And I was sent your way by Catalyst Jones.
Yes.
Of White Rabbit. So I listened to that episode and I really liked it. And I've listened to a few more of the shows that you've done with talking about the scriptural evidence for Flat Earth. And so I wanted to get you on, and we made it happen. Some funky technical things were just happening, like just before this.
Yeah. Satan is attacking, bro.
Dude,
trying to stop mics from working.
Lay off, bro. Like,
we're just recording a podcast, my guy. Chill out.
Yeah, dude. So, yeah, man. Well, thank you for having me. Catalyst Jones, thank you so much. This is the second show he recommended me for, which I appreciate, you know, anytime. My name is Josh Monday. My podcast is Josh Monday Christian and Conspiracy Podcasts. We have like 155 episodes out. You can find us on YouTube and any other, you know, podcasters, distributors, Spotify, Apple, all that stuff. So it's Josh Monday Christian and Conspiracy Podcast. Excuse me, too.
Hang. Yeah, for sure, man. Glad you're on here with us. Let me ask you a quick question, because if I remember correctly, you're in Cali.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm from Cali.
Awesome.
If I remember correctly, you said that you reside in Rialto.
Yeah.
Okay, what part of Rialto?
What part? Let's see. Before, so that the feds don't catch me.
I mean, don't disclose where you live if you don't want.
Southern Rialto, like right next to Bloomington, bro.
Okay, so I'm only asking because like my parents and aunts and uncles and everybody grew up in Rialto.
Awesome, bro. That's awesome. Yeah.
So, I mean, they all went to Eisenhower.
I'm off of Teakwood, bro. I'm off of Teakwood. Teakwood and Randall.
Okay. Are you familiar with a baseball park out there? It's a little league park. It's called Bud Bender Park.
Bud Bender Park. Well, actually, I work for the water district, bro. So I drive all around the city. So yeah, okay. I've driven by it. And Eisenhower is right next to one of our booster stations too, right there on Baseline and Willow.
Yeah, because if I'm
that's cool, bro.
It's off of Lilac.
Oh yeah, I know where Lilac is. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Bud Bender Park. It used to be Bud Bender Park, but like the Dodgers like redid the park like maybe seven or eight years ago now. And it was like Los Angeles Dodgers of Bud Bender Park, Rialto.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bud Bender is my grandfather.
Wow, bro. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So when I heard that, I was like, oh shoot, Rialto. I was like, this guy probably knows. Like
does Bud Bender deal with like softball leagues and stuff like that?
Well, he was really active in the little league.
Okay.
For a long time.
Does he still live in Rialto?
No, he passed in 2018.
Okay.
And he left Rialto. I want to say in like 16 to live with my mom and dad in Yucaipa.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, because I met a guy that was telling me that they named a park after him and that he deals with softball little league. So
yeah, he coached a lot of softball.
Man. Who knows, man? It could have been him.
It could have been, honestly.
Yeah, bro. Well, that's interesting and that's amazing, bro. And you know what? God is great, bro. I'm so glad he connected us, you know, on this show. You know, it's beautiful, man. And I'll be checking out you guys' show too, man. And there's so many awesome people in this podcast, you know, industry that it's amazing, man. There's some beautiful people, man, with beautiful hearts and are really doing their best, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And And that's why I kind of wanted to have you on the show to talk about, because where we're at with like flat Earth, for me, it's not like I don't believe in flat Earth. Like, I know the Earth is flat. I'm at this stage, right? I've seen enough scientific evidence, biblical evidence, observations of my own.
Yeah.
Working in construction, I see it every day.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard these arguments about, well, they build bridges with curvature in mind. I go, dude, listen, I've looked at hundreds, if not thousands, of prints in the 10 years of my career, and never once have I ever been told anywhere on a sheet that says, make sure when you build this, you add some curvature. Like, it doesn't exist, right? So,
of course,
I've seen enough for me, but with the show, it's probably the least amount of stuff we talk about topic wise.
Okay.
Because it is very cliche, and kind of niche still. So I don't want our main focus of the show to just be flat Earth, but I am like, I love the top. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about. So I started a second show, Flat Earth Fridays on Friday night. And that's a live show that I do with myself. And sometimes I go through like slides of PowerPoints from other flat earthers like Whitsitt or, some of these other guys. Or we talk about a video that I saw, or I just kind of go about my ideas of it, to the point where I wrote a book about it.
Wow, bro, that's awesome.
And so, yeah, but your perspective is, because how I start, like how the intro of my book is scripturally based. But I also say, like, listen, if you're not into scripture, and whether or not the scripture says it does or it doesn't, and you don't care, then just go ahead and skip this section. It's really not for you. But you can go ahead and go to the scientific aspect if that's what you're looking for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
So I've always heard that argument of, the Bible or flat Earth is a biblical idea. And it is, to an extent, right? It is. But not entirely. And I've heard that as a kind of a talking point. But I love this aspect of what you're going to talk about, because I grew up in the church. And I know that in the church, they don't teach this.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff they don't teach that we learn in the conspiracy community.
That they teach that is not true. Them.
Yeah, yeah.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
Pick your poison on that.
I've seen a lot of this. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you understand that churches are trying to keep people in the seats. And if you're in a room full of people and you're in a Bible study, and you, even though you have like all the, if I had all these notes ready to go and I presented this to people, their indoctrination would block them, their secular indoctrination would probably block a lot of Christians from receiving this. But when I go over this, a lot of people, they do wake up to it. And, I'm not here to say it's me. It's just God working through me and through you. And all we are is just vessels. And we're just trying to, we're just trying to spread the gospel. And we're trying to increase the kingdom of heaven and get more people into the kingdom of heaven. So that's where our whole point is. So when I go over this, the first thing I like to go over is that faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's in Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So when Paul says that, he means that, like, when you hear these verses and you don't believe them, then you're not building faith, right? So faith comes by hearing the word of God. So as I'm reading the word, these verses to you, I hope that you hear them, and what happens is the devil, his whole job, we're saved by grace through faith, for it is a gift of God, not of yourselves, not by works, so that no man shall boast. So God, the devil, he wants to attack faith. So what happens is, I believe that what happens is the devil wants to take Genesis and all these different things and put it in a blender and then serve it to you through science. And that's what they do when you go to school. They basically just, and so that way, by the time you reach the point where you finally have time to pick up a Bible because of how busy everybody keeps you from age 1 to like 25. Then by the time you pick up the Bible, you already have this preconceived bias. So when you pick the Bible up, you're like, there's no way that Genesis is correct. And if Genesis is correct, nothing else is correct. So I think the devil is very witty in doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's the first part I like to go over. Another one is all scripture is inspired by God. So if you're a Christian, understand that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So if all scripture is inspired by God, and we believe that God doesn't sin and God is not a liar, when we go over these verses, understand that these are serious, okay? Like, we have to take the Bible serious, okay, as Christians. If you're not Christian and you're just getting into this, understand that people like me, I take what God says like serious. You know what I mean? Like it is when God says it, that's what it is, because I believe that all scripture is inspired by him. So as we're reading these verses in Genesis, Job, all these different verses, Paul is telling you that all of it's inspired by God. Okay. So just need to know that. Also, 1 Timothy 6:20. It says, "Oh, Timothy," this is Paul talking to Timothy, "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called." That's another thing we need to understand. That's in Greek, right? In Greece, what are they doing, bro? Heliocentricity. All that stuff is happening with Paul. They're dealing with this stuff, and Paul is letting us know that science is going to test your faith. Are you going to choose to let God be the truth and every man a liar, or are you going to choose to let man be the truth and God be a liar? That is really your choice. And everything we do is God versus Satan. And that's just the way it is. Just like when we try to jump on the podcast right now, God would like this message to get out and Satan is trying to block it. Now we had to switch to Zoom. I don't know why it worked, but it did. But you know what I mean? I don't know if that's the devil really doing that for real, but it just happens, bro. We've been trying to connect for the last like 3 or 4 time weekends, dude.
Yeah.
It happens, bro. Mm-hmm. So everything we do, it's a choice between good and evil. Whether you're just about to smoke a cigarette, put dip in, drink, do this, do that. You know, man, you're always having a spiritual battle and fighting with that. And when you have the Holy Spirit, it's teaching you to overcome that, right?
Yeah.
Another one we have is 1 Romans 1:20. It's talking about like you're going to know God by his creation. And the only way to know about his creation is to read the Bible. It's not to go to any type of scientist and let him tell you how the earth was created, how the Big Bang Theory, all that stuff. Okay, so you're going to know God by his creation. Romans 1:20. So I just want to let you guys know that. And so what I like to do is let everybody know that the way that I take the Bible is I filter science through the Bible. And if it doesn't match with the Bible, then I put that theoretic science to the side. If it is something that's like DNA and it's causing people to go to prison for life, stuff like that. Well, God created DNA. So that's not in the Bible. It doesn't say DNA in the Bible. You know, stuff like that is testable, provable, repeatable. Okay. But I think you should filter these theories and all this stuff through the Bible. And if it doesn't match the Bible, you don't need to believe it. That's just the way I think of it, okay? You don't have to be like that. That's just the way I am. So that we have that. So any questions on anything I went over so far?
No, man. I just wanted to really point out that was something that was unique for me and kind of my journey with like flat earth was that like, even though I'm always willing to admit that I'm definitely not the prime example that you would go to live this specific lifestyle that the Bible lays out, right? Like I do my best to follow the laws, and I tiptoe the line a lot. You know, I'm not like the prime example by any means. But what was really unique is I feel as if every believer, whatever faith you have, every believer in your deity is, and I believe in Yahweh, right? That's my creator. You like in the back of your mind, no matter how strong your faith is, what would really turn it over the top would be actual physical, tangible evidence of a creator, right? Because then that's a leap beyond faith that reifies the faith in the first place. And I think everybody like secretly deep down would like, even if it's a sliver of something, I'd love to see it. And not to say anybody that's weak minded in that way, but I'm just talking about myself. When I saw that, like in Flat Earth, I was like, yo, it's crazy that my faith was not unfounded, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like it was almost like a weight off of my, like for me anyways, a weight off my shoulders of, you know, like out of all the conspiracies that we talk about, that it gets crazy. I'm like, dude, I can check this one off because we're good here.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Bro. And it honestly can drag you into the faith more where you're like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Like they drag you into a point where you, God is closer. And you're just like, wow. So, I mean, I really get that, bro. And I get that from a lot of people, man. Whatever God uses to do that to you, then that's amazing. And what he's doing for us is like the conspiracy is like the bait, and we're chasing that conspiracy. And then what happens is, you know, you bite, and then you got stuff like this, Flat Earth and all this other stuff that's lining up with the Bible. My whole show is based on taking a conspiracy and show you how it relates to the Bible. And this one relates the most to me. So yeah. And it's a beautiful thing, man. So what I like to do is I like to get into what science says first, and then I'll show you what the Bible says. Right. So we'll see what science says. So, where's my little thing? My wife looks like she's hiding my earth from me. I have like a little fake thing of the whatever. So we have I don't have slides. I don't have slides like Dave Weiss. I wish I was that great, but I don't.
That's
so
all good.
Okay. So the earth is on a 23.4 degree axis, spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and it's orbiting the sun at 66,600 miles an hour. That number changes sometimes, but I just like to say that because it's like, dude, why would they even choose that number, right? So we have it at a 23.4 degree axis. It's now the thousand miles an hour thing is, it's fast, right? So I still feel like that's pretty incredible to not feel it, but the 66,600 miles an hour orbiting the sun, and not even in a straight line, but actually orbiting, that part right there, man, when you find that out at the age that I am right now, dude, like common sense tells you that it's just not happening, bro. You know what I mean?
It's dumb.
Yeah.
It just sounds dumb.
It's insane, dude, to me, bro. It's like, come on, bro. But okay. So the fastest bullet, bro, the fastest bullet travels at 1800 miles an hour. So they're basically saying that we're orbiting 30 times faster than a bullet around the sun, and we feel absolutely nothing, right? Our senses, when we go outside, tells us that we are fixed and immovable, right? We're not moving, orbiting, spinning, anything like that. There's people that get car sick, right? Motion sickness. If you're in a cruise ship, if you're sitting there reading a book in a car, you're going to throw up.
Yeah.
But how could you?
Was it your vestibular? Here? I think it was it called your vestibular systems or something like that in your inner ear?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're minute that even a friction of off is
a little bit of movement, a little bit of movement. They're going to throw up, dude. If they're, you know, they're going to feel like throwing up. They feel like vomiting. But then again, you know, is it all like contorted? Like, did God contort that perfectly to like not feel the 66,600 miles an hour or the 1,000 mile an hour spin? Or are we just fixing a movable and not moving? I mean, just let's think of common sense here, right? So
Right. Another
thing, what about earthquakes? I mean, like, dude, if there's an earthquake in, you know, in Riverside and I'm in Rialto and the earth moves, I feel it, right? And there's also, the instruments are meant to detect like a tenth of a millimeter of movement, but for some reason, the instruments are not detecting the 66,600 miles an hour or the 1,000 mile an hour spin, right? So if the earth moves, I think we should feel it. And we're not feeling that. So I think it gets interesting, right?
Yeah.
Not only
feel it, but at least test it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay, if we can't feel it, I should be able to test for it, right? And they're like, no, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, you can't do that. You know, it's just, yeah, exactly, bro. And if you guys want to learn about all that type of stuff, you can go listen to Wits It Gets It. That dude can crush all that stuff. I'm not into that. I just go over like I basically scratch the surface of all that just so you could see how ridiculous it is. So they say that the moon orbits the earth at 2,288 miles per hour, okay, which is faster than a bullet. So they're saying the moon is orbiting that fast. We're moving that fast. And it says, they say that somebody took a, you know, a rocket and went to the moon. I mean, can you imagine how much balls that takes, bro, for you to go and try to land on something that's moving faster than a bullet while we're traveling at 66,600 miles an hour orbiting, and then also we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour? I mean, come on, guys. Yeah. It's just, I don't even need to go over the moon landing. I mean, by now,
not to look into the three body problem, but
yeah. By now, you guys should understand that this is insane. And then also, we got to keep in mind that the universe moves through space, or not the universe, sorry. The sun is basically traveling through space and we're chasing it at 525,000 miles per hour, right? So the universe basically is moving. Our orbit, our galaxy is moving at 525,000 miles an hour. So we're just chasing the sun. So that's also happening, okay, which is insane. And then the sun, they say, is 93 million miles away, right? So that's another thing that's pretty insane. And if you have like a cloud that moves in front of the sun, it changes the temperature by like 10 degrees, just a cloud. So how much stuff is in between us and space that's blocking it and all that stuff? I mean, I don't get it, man. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah, you just don't get it, Josh. You're not an astrophysicist.
Exactly. That's how do I get. Yeah, you're not astrophysicist. I'm gonna take it from the white coats. All right. So now another thing I think is insane, bro, is how far how far stars are located, man. They say that Alpha Centauri, they say, which is the closest star, is 4.4 light years away. Now, we don't get to learn this type of stuff, but one light year is 6 trillion miles away. So you take 6 trillion, you times it by 4, and it's 24 trillion miles away, the closest star. There are some stars that are as far as a million light years away, bro. That's like take a million, times it by 6 trillion. And these numbers are so astronomical, our brains can't even fathom this type of stuff, bro.
It's so dumb, dude. Imagine if your job was just like, your job description was just, hey, make up big numbers and just throw them out there.
Scramble people's brains. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, they could literally change that distance next year by like a billion quizillion and nobody would even bat an eye.
Yes. And I want to make sure that as Christians, we understand when I go over Genesis, you guys have to try to see what we're trying to fit into what Genesis says. And the way that we, you know, just think about all this stuff. And then, you know, like the moon, sun, and the stars are in the firmament, right? So all that stuff has to be in the firmament. God's throne is above the firmament. So if we are orbiting and spinning and it's an ever-expanding universe and God's throne is above the firmament and it's supposedly outside of the galaxies, then God is literally moving further and further and further away while Earth is spinning. You know what I mean? Because all that stuff is supposed to be in the firmament, right? And God's throne is above the firmament. So it just does not make sense. Okay, guys. So there's a scientific trinity that they have, you know, the Big Bang Theory. That's the first one, right? It's Georges Lemaître, a Belgian cosmologist. He was a Jesuit trained priest. Whenever we're on conspiracy podcasts and you hear the word Jesuit, automatic red flag, right? So let's try to think about that. Yeah. So basically 13.8 billion years ago is when they said the size of a pin exploded. Explosions. I was in the United States military. Whenever I see explosions, I see them explode and cause destruction. I never see them explode and cause construction. So I don't see things coming back together. I don't see libraries exploding and then all the books coming back together. No, it explodes and that's it, bro. So if there's an explosion, I'm not seeing gravity do anything. So we're not seeing anything like that, right?
As much as I'd love to be in Harry Potter, I've never seen that.
Exactly. And they also, the order that they say everything was created, they say the stars came first and then the moon and then the sun and then the earth, right? So that's different than what the Bible says. Okay, I'm going to go over that. So keep that in mind as we go over this too. So next thing that they have scientific trinity is going to be evolution, right? Charles Darwin, find out who his grandfather is. He's a 33 degree Mason. And that's where this whole theory came from. So Charles Darwin is going to go be taking that from his grandfather. Now, Charles Darwin's dad was actually a preacher. He probably said he's a pastor. He's like, I'm not going to take this on. So his son took it on from a 33 degree Mason. Boom, took this theory of evolution, brought it out and put it on the table. So now we have a 33 degree Mason. What do we think when we're conspiracy theorists? Automatic red flag, right? We're not going to believe that. Yep. Next thing we have is the heliocentric model which came out from Copernicus. Okay. If you look up Copernicus, there's a Freemason lodge named after him. It's Copernicus CHP 246, right? So we got to understand, we have Copernicus. He was a priest, first of all, right? He was another priest. Was he Jesuit? I don't know. Back in his time, the Jesuits just came out in 1540. He released this in like 1560. I'm not sure if he was Jesuit, but I know that this was all occult practices. And if you're naming Freemason lodges after this guy, you know that he's part of the occult. You can already tell. Now, he was on his deathbed when he put the heliocentric model out, and the Catholic Church was pressing him to do so, right? They wanted him to put this thing out, and they brought it out, bro. Copernicus, they say, was on his deathbed. He didn't want to put this out. Do I know if this is true history? Who knows? Do I even know if Copernicus is real? I don't know, but I'm just telling you what I've studied, man. And dude, if you name a Freemason lodge after this guy, that's another red flag, bro, because he is doing the agenda of them, not of God, right? We could kind of see that. So, and a lot of these things I just mentioned are God killers, man. It puts people into college, and once they learn all this stuff, and then they go back and read the Bible, they're like, all this stuff. I'm just going to believe 30% of the Bible, or I'm going to believe Jesus. I'm going to believe the New Testament. I'm not going to believe any of the Old Testament because all that stuff is all allegories. But dude, telling you, bro, this stuff is all God killers, dinosaurs, all the stuff, man. Yep. And when you look into it from a perspective where you erase all your preconceived biases and you start studying it, then you understand that you put this is all theoretical nonsense that are all theories that are coming from people that are atheists. So I'm not going to ever go to these people for scriptural advice. I'm not going to ever go to them for salvation. So I'm not going to go to them for creation advice either. Okay. I'm not going to ask them how it was created because they're atheists, bro. They're trying to prove that God is wrong. Not all of them, not every single scientist is an atheist, but most of them that get peer reviewed, they're not going to be creationists, bro. They're going to be atheists, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's pretty interesting. So now that I've kind of gone over that, we can kind of get into the Bible stuff. Any questions on anything I've gone over so far, bro, or anything you want to add? Because I know you've studied this stuff like I have.
I just want to say, like, I find it kind of remarkable that a lot of so-called Christians don't know this. Like, I'm talking just Genesis.
Yeah.
Right. But I've talked about this on the show before. We've talked about this on the show before. That a lot of people actually who claim to live like a Christian lifestyle or whatever, don't actually even read their Bible. And if they do, they will be willing to defend the idea of what you're talking about verse wise is actually just allegorical and that it doesn't mean what it means, to defend a clear, in my opinion, a clear culprit of heliocentrism, helio sun god worship.
Yeah.
Made by these psychopathic world leaders, right? They're fallen to Satan because Satan is the god of this world. And they're like, no, that's not what that means. And when I went back and read Genesis, like when I got back into it, I was like, holy shit, dude. I never read Genesis like this before.
No, bro. Yeah. It's crazy. I get what you're saying, man. 100%, you know? Bro. And like you said, you just talked about the heliocentricity. Even Copernicus in his writings, it says, in the middle of all sits the sun enthroned in the most beautiful temple. Could we place this luminary in any better position from which it can illuminate the whole at once? He is rightly called the lamp, the mind, the ruler of the universe, Hermes, right? names him the invisible God. Like, dude, what are we talking about, bro? Like, is this guy like supposed to be a pastor or a priest or like, or is he talking like he's a cult? He's talking about the sun being enthroned in a temple. That means that we are, and everything orbits the sun, right? The sun is the light. It's the lamp. And my feet, like, wow, bro, are you like making the sun Jesus? Or, dude, that's the way the guy is. He's talking, dude, like sun worship has been happening throughout, dude, ever since, dude. If you look at Babylonian, you look at Egyptian, you look at Mithra, you look at all these different things, bro. They're all worshiping the sun, bro. The sun god. Even Nimrod, all the way to Tammuz, all that stuff, bro. So you're definitely correct in that, bro. That's all. It's all sun worship, bro, and it's very interesting.
Hey, Josh, let me ask you this before I give you the reins here.
Yes.
To get deeper into what we're talking about. Do you subscribe to the idea of extra land beyond Antarctica?
I don't unsubscribe from it. You know, I do know that Admiral Byrd came and he said that there was extra land. Now he's also a Freemason. Okay, guys. So look into that. But I do know he said that there was extra land outside of Antarctica. And I am the type that does believe in a firmament. I believe that is a dome. I don't believe that it's flat, but dude, I'm open, bro. I've had Sean Hibbler on the show. I've had people talk about extra land. Now, is there like actual biblical evidence? But the Bible also doesn't tell you that there's only seven continents, and who knows what they're hiding, man. The government is just, you know, they're liars, man. And in the Bible, dude, the Bible will tell you in the Geneva Bible. I'll tell you guys real quick. So in the Geneva Bible, which was written in 1560, it was actually King James made it illegal for you to read that Bible. And then he, you know, they created the King James Version. It in Ephesians 6:12, it says, it actually tells you to that. There's let me just go there real quick, bro.
Yeah. No.
Let me just go there because I don't want to like screw it up, dude. So
find that real quick. I just want to say this. About like the scriptural aspect of it. Because you also have to remember I through this journey, I don't know how it was for you, but I also had to reevaluate some things of the Bible when you start thinking about the Council of Nicaea. And okay, so I know Enoch, they make the claim, because every pastor says the same thing about Enoch. Like, oh, it wasn't written by Enoch and it wasn't given divinely to him. I'm like, well, this is the only dude to not have to experience death because God viewed him so
hard. Elijah too. There's two people, Enoch and Elijah. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought that was another one. Okay. Elijah.
Both of them basically got raptured, you could call it.
Yeah. And so like, you know, you could ask like, why aren't those books in the Bible? So to look at what King James did versus the Geneva Bible, you're like, bro, why are you doing that? Like, why is that necessary? You know,
Let me show you. I haven't read the whole Geneva Bible yet. I'm just kind of doing some studies, but this is something that, you know, Ephesians 6:10, it's basically, this is a very popular verse. I think it's 6:12. It's like, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we get in the King James Bible. So that's obviously talking about principalities of evil. And I believe that that's where they are located and fighting and everything is where the moon, sun, and the stars are located, right? So it's in high places, right? That's where all that stuff is happening. The book of Daniel speaks of basically the Prince of Persia fighting against this angel that's trying to answer the prayer. And he said he had to call Michael the archangel. So it took 3 weeks for him to get there because there's spiritual battle and fighting before they can get to Daniel, right? So that's interesting. So I do believe that. But if you go to the Geneva Bible, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the worldly governors, the princes of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness for which ye in high places. So it is talking about those spiritual people in high places as well, but right. also we're fighting against the worldly governors and governments, the kings, the queens, the black nobility, the Freemasons, yeah. the Jesuits, all this stuff is also, we're fighting against that as well. So that's yeah. just an example of when you talk about that the governments are the ones that created this stuff, and the Freemasons and the occultists and all that stuff, they did create this stuff for yeah. a reason, bro.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, imagine being a peasant too and reading that. Reading yeah. that, be like, hey,
they couldn't even read it back then, bro. Most of the people couldn't read. They had to have a priest true. Read to them, so the priest yeah. would probably never even go to that because they don't yeah. even want to cause any uproar, right?
Imagine if you're like the one guy that could read. You're like, hey, dude, this motherfucker, that's him.
They want to start a podcast right away. Like, we just start talking about these governments, bro.
I know it, right?
For real. So
speak easy at the tavern.
All right. So now we have, okay. So we went over kind of what science says, the occultism, all that stuff. So now we can go to the Bible, right? So when we go to the Bible, I need you guys to understand when we're talking about Genesis, right? This is a firsthand account from the Most High, right? And why do they call him the Most High anyways, bro? He's at the highest point of creation. He's above the firmament. His throne is at the highest part of creation, right? So understand, guys, even Jesus says this in John 5:45. He says, this is when he came back from resurrection. He's walking with his disciples. They don't even recognize him at first, right? He says, do you think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So it's kind of the same thing. If you start reading Genesis and all this stuff and you're not going to believe Moses is writing, how are you supposed to believe Jesus, right? If you can't believe in the creation and everything, how are you going to believe that he resurrected? If it can't scientifically be proven, are you not going to believe in a resurrection now? So yeah. we got to understand. So there's a lot of stuff we got to understand about this, all right? Also, like I said, dude, he was there 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai speaking to God. You know what I mean? He's talking to God, dude. He's getting all this stuff. Now, if you were Moses and God was speaking to you and you know you're talking to the Most High, you're on holy ground, all this stuff, you can't even see him because he's so bright. Wouldn't you write down like everything that God is saying? Yeah, obviously, man. When he wrote Genesis, he had to like give you a firsthand account from what God, you know, God is saying, because Moses was not alive during parts of Genesis, right? He's not even yeah. alive. So this has to be firsthand account from the Most High, from God. So
you think Moses was toking the reefer when he was at the burning bush?
I don't know, man. I just think that I think he was sober minded and I think he was clear headed. I don't think he was toking the reefer, but I don't know.
Maybe it was people, like pure back then.
yeah. A lot of people will talk about ayahuasca, about all this DMT, all that. That's something that maybe Joe Rogan would say, but you know what? I think he was clear headed and he was talking to God and he was on actual, you know what I mean? This is serious business, bro. That's what mm-hmm. I think, you know? So, I mean, if Jesus is coming back today, I don't think I'd be smoking weed and like trying to talk to him like on that kind of level. That's just me. but you know what I mean? And if Jesus was coming, I'd probably clear that. If I had that on my table, I'd be like, I got to get rid of that. I got to make sure. You know what I mean? So yeah. If it's something you wouldn't feel convicted about, it's different. But all right. So let's go to day one, bro. Genesis, right? It says, in the beginning, God, or you could say Elohim, right? This is going to be plural, so it's interesting. Elohim created the heavens, which is the Shemaim, and the earth, right? So when you talk about the earth, that doesn't mean the earth. What that means is land. So he created the heavens, only two heavens, right? Because the firmament is also called heaven. So he created two heavens where the moon, sun, and the stars would be located, and his throne. That's what he created. Now we have waters. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So now we have water. Now when you go to day two, God created the firmament, right? And he said he separated the waters from the waters and recreated the firmament. And he called the firmament heaven. If you go to Paul, he talks about there being three heavens. So one heaven would be where the moon, sun, and the stars are located. The other heaven would be where the firmament is located. And the third heaven is where God's throne is located. Tell me if you ever hear that from pastors. They probably wouldn't even say that. So no. Day two, the firmament was created and he separated the waters from the waters. So now above the firmament is going to be what? Waters. Okay. Mm-hmm. Understand that. Now, day three, he created the oceans, the dry land, plants, and vegetation. So now the continents are there, the dry land and the vegetation. So now we have the sky where the moon, sun, and the stars are located, a firmament, which is a dome over the earth, waters above that, and above the firmament is God's throne. Now, day four, he created the moon, sun, and the stars also. Okay. And something we need to understand is God separates the sun from a star. He calls the sun and the stars two separate things. He doesn't say that the sun is a star, like science tries to say. Mm-hmm. Also, what was the earth orbiting when on day three or day four, sorry, on day three before the moon, sun, and the stars were located? So if you are a heliocentric person, what was happening during that time? So the continents are created. Everything's created. Do you believe that God just took the earth and threw it around the sun after he created it? I don't know. I don't see any of that here, bro. I don't see any of that here, dude. That's just me, the way I see it.
Yeah, because you'd have to say, well, what was the earth orbiting for the first 3 days?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Now and like I said, on day one, I think God laid the foundations of the earth, because what he said is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but earth translates to land. So what I believe is he laid the foundations of the earth, and it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Deep is the Abuso. Abuso is where the fallen angels are located. So I do believe that he created all that, the foundations, Sheol, everything on the first day, the two heavens. That's what I believe happened on the first day. Some people will say there's a gap theory. There's this, there's that. Sure, you connect this to that. I don't believe that, bro, because I believe I read it and I take it literally, bro, the way God put it. So day four, God says he put the moon, sun, and the stars in the firmament, right? And the reason why I said that nothing was orbiting on day three or day four is because here are some verses about the earth being fixed and immovable. 1 Chronicles 16:30, he has fixed the earth firm and immovable. Psalms 93:1, thou hast fixed the earth immovable and firm. Psalms 96:10, he has fixed the earth firm and immovable. Psalms 104:5, he says, thou hast fixed the earth on its foundations so that it can never be shaken. Isaiah 45:18, who made the earth and fastened it himself and fixed it fast. Okay, that is all, there's probably even more verses about it being fixed and immovable, but I just like to fire off those. There's an amazing verse, bro, that I think that is really cool about the boundaries of the waters, you know, maybe like the Antarctica type thing. It's Proverbs 8:27-29. So it says, when he established the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When he drew a circle upon the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above. So first of all, firm means hard, solid, right? When I go over the Rakia or the firmament, you guys are going to understand that. So this verse is already talking about the skies being firm above, right? When the fountains of the springs of the deep became fixed and strong. When he set for the sea its boundaries so that the waters would not transgress. The boundaries are set by his command, and he marked out the foundations of the earth. So the waters have a boundary, right? The boundary would be, I believe, Antarctica. And he's talking about being a circle. If you look, from the top, you would see a circle, Antarctica around the outside, and the waters have the boundaries, bro. And he's talking about it right here. He's also talking about making the skies firm above, right?
Yep.
And the fountains and springs of the deep, what are those? Well, those are what came out when the flood, bro. There's three different things that happened with the flood, which I'll go over in a little bit. And that happens to be one of them, bro. The fountains of the deep. The water, right? It's interesting. any questions so far on any of that stuff I went over?
No, man. This is really good. This is really interesting. I like the path that you're going, like, with this, because, like I said, this is how I start my book.
You probably already know a lot of this, but your listeners, hopefully it's new to them, you know?
Yeah. I think it really will be for a lot of people, because, like I said, we could sit here and talk about the Bible all day, all night long. If we have listeners that are just not into it, they're going to skip it. But people who are really into reading the Bible, like, check yourself right here, because I know I had to for sure.
Yeah, me too, bro. I had to check myself for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just remarkable, man.
So we have that so far. Now I want to talk about the moon and the sun are moving. Okay. not the earth. Okay, so understand this, and this is biblical. Okay, Joshua 10, 12 through 13, it says, "Then spoke Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand still, thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher," which is something you mentioned earlier, like, why would they take these type of books out? "And in the book of Jasher, it says, so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and has not go down about a whole day." When it says go down, it means to go away from. And when it says to come up, it means to come forth. It doesn't mean to go down like the sun is going down. It just means to go away from or come forth. Okay. So that is a bad translation when they have that. But the book of Jasher does say that. Okay. So the way they explain it scientifically, if the earth stopped rotating and stopped moving, they say that everybody that's on the earth would fly off the earth. Okay. They said it would be catastrophic, the waters, everything. This is not talking about the earth standing still. What this is talking about, the moon and the sun stopping in two geographical locations. And Joshua is praying to God because Joshua knew Moses. And Moses told him the way the earth was created, and he knows to have the sun stand still and the moon stand still and not have to. And it's in two geographical locations, which I think is amazing, bro. And they stood still about a whole day till he avenged his enemies. And that's a prayer to the Most High, to God, saying that he to stop these two things. And that's what happened. Okay, guys. So that's one witness. Let's get another one. Habakkuk 3:11, "The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation at the light of thine arrows, thy went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear." Now that's two witnesses. When you have two witnesses in the Bible, now that's what I'm talking about. We got that.
Favorite book, by the way.
Yeah, dude. It's so interesting, man. I love it. And then now we have Isaiah, right? 38:7-8. This is a prophet speaking, someone that was able to take words from God, and all this is all inspired anyways, but still he's able to speak to God, bro. He says, "And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will be doing this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial which has gone down or go away from, with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. The sun returned 10 degrees on the dial in which it had not gone down or gone away from." So there's a sundial, bro. It's like a clock in the sky, and he's talking about it going backwards 10 degrees. What are we talking about here, bro? Are we talking about the earth going back 10 degrees? Well, the way they word it here is the sun is going back 10 degrees. So when you see this clock app, like, you know, I think that there's really some stuff to it, man. Like the moon, sun, and clock app of Dave Wise, stuff like that. I mean, it's really interesting, man. So this is three different spots, and there's a fourth spot as well, which I'll go over once I get to Psalms 19:1, which is on the tombstone of the NASA director. Once I get to that part, I'll tell you guys. There's another spot where it talks about the sun making a circuit and moving, okay? So there's that. Now, another thing, bro, is the moon is a light and the sun is a light. Right. So that's what we have here. I'm going to read it real quick. It's Genesis 1 verses 14 through 19. This is also going to be telling you guys about the firmament and where the moon, sun, and the stars are located. But there's also like some other stuff in here about the moon being a light, the sun being a light. There's a lot of information here, but let's take it with a grain of salt. So it's Genesis 1, 14 through 19. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons," which are like feasts, okay, for us to know when the feasts are coming and all that stuff, "for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." So a couple things here. He says he created two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, lesser light to rule the night. Now, the moon, if you listen to some flat earth podcasts or some, you know, some videos, you're going to see that the moonlight is actually colder than in the shade, right? So it's kind of reverse of how the sun is. So I do believe the moon is its own light. If you go outside right now, snap a picture of the moon, what are you going to see? You're going to see that it's bright, dude, as if you took a picture of an actual light. So I do believe that because the Bible says it, that the moon is its own light. And also it says that he created the moon, sun, and the stars, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. So the sun, the moon, and the stars are created to give light upon the earth. The moon, the sun, and the stars are not created to give light upon Saturn and Jupiter and different galaxies and all this other crap. These moon, sun, and stars are created to give light upon the earth because God created the earth for us. And it's a package deal, bro, if that makes sense. It's to light the earth up. It's to know the signs and the seasons for the earth, for us, people.
Right.
The people he created. This is all created for us because we are special. We're special in God's eyes, okay? We need to understand that. So there's a lot to put in there. And also the moon, sun, and the stars are put in the firmament. Right now I'm standing in the room, so I believe the moon, sun, and the stars are within the firmament, not actually in the firmament. I don't know. That's the way some people believe that they're actually in the firmament. I don't know if the firmament is hard, solid dome. I don't know if the firmament is what it's made out of. I have no idea. I just believe that the moon, sun, and the stars are within and they're moving. And I believe the dome is fixed, but I could be wrong. Could the dome be moving and all that? I have no idea, man. And I'm not going to try to explain that to you guys. I'm just kind of going with the Bible says. The moon is her own light. Well, it says in Ezekiel 32:7, and then I shall put thee out and I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with the cloud and the moon shall not give her light. So there's several different parts in the Bible. Mark, Jesus says her light, and the sun. There's also a spot in Isaiah where he says his light, which I think is interesting. But the moon is a light. The sun is a light. Take that for what it is. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And
in Enoch, it says that the sun and the moon are the exact same size diameter.
Yes, it does. Yep. And Enoch also talks about windows of heaven, doors opening in heaven. It makes the flood, dude, make sense to so much more than if you just try to put it on a globe, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, now let's talk about the firmament, which is something that is really big in the flat earth community. Let's keep in mind that the moon, sun, and the stars are in the firmament. Firmament in Hebrew, it means rakia. It's solid, beaten out, molten glass, all these different definitions for this. Is it expanse? Well, that's a loose translation of it. Expanse, I don't believe that that's a good word to use. Expanse would be like space, you know? And if you look at the Greek, like when they did the Septuagint, it was 72 scholars that were reading the Bible, and they took it from Hebrew to Greek, which is the Septuagint, and they used the word, hold on. It's going to be firmament, rakia, solid Greek. Yep. The scriptures. I don't know why I don't have that word. I usually know what that is. Hold on. Rakia. Okay. So the word that they use is in Greek, and I'm sorry, I don't have it off the top of my head, but, I could look it up. I usually have it written down here. Sorry. Stereoma. Yeah, that's what it is. So stereoma. So basically they use stereoma, which is going to be solid as well. That's the meaning of that word. Solid, right? So rakia is solid and firm, like that's why they use the word firmament, right? And then stereoma is also going to be solid, okay, if you look it up. So they use that word. They didn't end up using space, expanse, anything like that, okay? So we got to understand that. So and there's a theory out there that Ken Hovind came up with about the firmament, that it was a solid piece of ice canopy surrounding the earth. There's actually some newer translations that actually use canopy instead of firmament, which is very interesting. It's kind of funny to me. But if you think about the moon, sun, and the stars being in the firmament, that means that ice canopy would have to be outside of the whole entire galaxy, and that would not work. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that the canopy could be around the earth, because God said he put the moon, sun, and the stars in the firmament. So now we have to start adding firmaments to this and making there two firmaments, One where the ice canopy was, and then one where the moon, sun, and the stars above that, right? So that doesn't work for me, bro, because God said that he created the firmament and he called it heaven, right? And there's only one firmament. So I'll show you right now in Genesis 1:6, where God says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters from which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Okay, so the firmament is called heaven. So that's why I told you guys there's three heavens, one where the moon, sun, and the stars are located. One is the firmament, and the third is where God's throne is located. Okay, so we got to understand that. It's interesting. So spots that I told you where God's throne is above the firmament, I could kind of go over that.
Mm-hmm.
We have Ezekiel 10:1. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance and the likeness of a throne. So he's looking through the firmament, and he sees the likeness of a throne. Okay, we have that, Ezekiel 1:26. And above the firmament that was over their heads with the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of appearance of a man above upon it. Okay, so we have that. And then we also have Psalms 150 verses 1-2. Praise ye Lord, praise ye God in the sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him in the mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. So we have that. And then another one we have is it's kind of interesting that the sapphire stone stuff, it's Exodus 24:9-11, then went up to Moses and Aaron, Nabib and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw God of Israel, and there was under his feet were a paved work of sapphire stone. So I just think it's interesting that sapphire stone, sapphires can be any color, I think, but red, I think. I have to double check that, but so I don't know what color they're talking about. It could be blue, it could be green, it could be the aurora lights, it could be that type of color, you know. So it gets interesting. And one more thing I have real quick before we jump is Amos 9:6. NASB 2020 version says, the one who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and founded his vaulted dome over the earth, he who calls for the waters of sea and pours them out on the face of the earth, and the Lord is his name. Okay, so that's all kind of pointing to God being the most high, his throne being above the firmament. And, you know, I just think it's interesting. Any questions on any of this at all?
No, man, you're rocking. Keep firing.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure. And I know that you're going to be tired right now because it's probably like 12 there. So I just want to spit fire this stuff out, and hopefully people feel it. So we have that. Now we have Job 37:18, speaking of the firmament. Hast thou spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten looking glass, right? We have that. Satan, dude, this is Isaiah 14:13-15. It's going to show you where God's throne is located. It says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet he shall be brought down to Sheol in the lowest depths of the pit. So Satan is talking about God's throne being above the stars, right? So what is it? The moon, sun, and the stars are in the firmament. And what's above that? God's throne. That's why it's talking about that. I will also sit on the mount congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Kind of interesting that if you do have a dome and in the very middle would be the north, and God's throne would be located there. I don't know how far out it goes. I have no clue. But the north does have the aurora lights. There's a lot of different stuff with the north that we're not allowed to kind of travel there. And we're not allowed to travel to Antarctica. So I just think that's really interesting. So we have that. And then another thing I like to go over is Revelation 4:6. This kind of gives you a view into heaven if you do go through the firmament. Now, one thing I got to say about the firmament, I think it's solid. I don't think we can ever break through it. I don't think our physical bodies would ever be able to make it through the firmament. But I do believe that our spirit is able to go through. So when you do pass away, you are able to go through the firmament and go to heaven. don't you think that God would put something there that we can never physically get into heaven? So the Tower of Babel wouldn't work, anything like that, where you can't actually get to God. What do you think, that you're going to have somebody from earth try to not break the firmament and go to heaven and be able to fight God? God obviously has a barrier between us and him. And mm-hmm. it's called the firmament. Does that make sense to you guys or not, dude? To me, it definitely makes sense. And it's unbreakable, unshatterable glass, like Hillary Clinton tries to speak about. And it's not going to happen, dude. And we know they did try to break through it. But Revelation 4, verse 6, it says, "And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." So there's crystal glass, right? So I think that it's interesting. I've read Revelation 2 where there's parts talking about there being waters in heaven. You're hearing roaring waters and thunder. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I think there's water, you know, that's just, it just is what it is, man.
Yeah.
So we have that. Also we have Luke 1:28, right? We have an angel coming and speaking to Mary and saying that, he's going to be the son of the highest. Instead of saying the most high, this angel said the highest, because God is at the highest point of creation. Okay. We got to understand that. That's why he's called the most high. Now, we were talking about them trying to penetrate this impenetrable dome or glass. What happened? Operation Fishbowl. Operation Fishbowl, the original name was Operation Dominique Chama. Operation Fishbowl was a series of high-altitude nuclear tests in 1962, which were carried out by the United States as part of a larger Operation Dominique nuclear test program. They were basically shooting Thor missiles and trying to break the glass. Now, it says Dominique means belonging to the Lord, and Chama means fixed shell. So we have a fixed shell belonging to the Lord, and they're trying to break the fishbowl, you know, which would be a hole in top on top and a glass, right? So we have a dome and they want to make a hole on top. If you look at what a fishbowl looks like, there's land basically down at the bottom, and then there's a bowl with a hole on top. That's why they call it Operation Fishbowl, because they're trying to, first of all, too, man, we got to think about this. Now, I was in the military. So if you think about from land to land, like let's say they need to find out the dome is here. They need to find out how high the dome is, because if they're shooting rockets or nukes or whatever, even if they are real or not, I'm not sure. But if they shoot a nuke from here over to Russia, they need to know how high the dome is, because the missile is going to go and hit the dome. So they need to know how high that is. So they shot the missiles up to find out where it was at. And they saw that exploding from atmosphere to atmosphere. So if you shoot a missile from America to Russia now you know how high it can go without it hitting the dome. So they had to test that. Also, when they do these test flights for NASA, they want to know how high that they have to curve the rocket, which they always do. They curve it, and you always see that.
Cape Canaveral.
We have to know that. And that's what I believe this was. And it was in 1962, which happens to be right there where NASA started pushing all this stuff, talking about moon landings in 1969. They have all this stuff going on. We have Admiral Byrd in 1959 finding extra land. We have an encyclopedia in 1958 talking about a dome being in Antarctica. We have all this stuff happening, bro, during that time. So what do you think they did? Well, we need to blow this thing up, dude. Let's see if we can make it through the firmament. Right. So I think that we need to understand that a lot of stuff was happening between that time that is affecting us now today. Right.
Yeah.
So all the wordage and stuff that they have there, they have a Thor missile, a hammer trying to break belonging to the Lord, a fixed shell belonging to the Lord. We got to understand this stuff, man. All this stuff is all occultic type stuff, you know. Now we have a Nazi scientist, Wernher von Braun. Right. He was like the first director of NASA. When he passed away, he had Psalms 19:1 on his tombstone. I've heard a lot of people bring this up. I'm not the first one to bring this up, but I'll tell you what the rest of the verse says, which I don't hear people bring up. I think that this guy left us a breadcrumb, okay? Because Psalms 19:1 does say, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork," right, which is amazing. I love that, right? But if you look at Psalms 19:1-6, listen to this. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and the night uttereth night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where your voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words of the end of the world, and them hath he set a tabernacle for the son, which is the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He's going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and therefore nothing hid from the heat thereof. A circuit is like a race. If you start a race in one spot and you end in another. So it's talking about the son traveling in a circuit, moving, right? So we got to understand that. And also it talks about it going to the ends of heaven. Is it talking about going to the ends of heaven where God's throne is located? No, it's talking about going through the end of heaven. God called the firmament heaven. The moon, sun, and the stars are in the firmament. So it's talking about circling within the firmament. Okay. Right. It's very interesting. You guys got to understand that. And like I said, God called the firmament heaven. Understand that. Like I said, there's three heavens. Do I have proof of that? Biblically, I have Paul talking about going to the third heaven. Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4, it says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So he was caught up into paradise. Paradise would be where God's throne is located. And he's talking about unspeakable words that a man can't utter. That's it. Wouldn't he be talking about going through different galaxies, dodging planets, seeing stars? And he'd probably write a whole book on this. No, all he talks about is whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, because he went up to heaven, right? So when you go up to heaven, up is here, down is here. When you're on a spinning globe, you don't know where down or up is even at. Down, up, who knows? So if he was on a globe spinning and he went up to heaven, what if he was down, right? What if he went down, he would miss it, right? So did he have to catch the earth at a certain thing for him to go up? I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff about that, getting caught up to heaven. Like, let's talk about Elijah got caught up to heaven. Enoch went up to heaven. Jesus descended into the earth, which is down, and he ascended to heaven, which is up. You know what I mean? There's a up and down on a flat earth. Okay. Up is here and down is there. On a globe, there's no up, bro. We don't know which way is up. So that's the way the devil wants to keep you, right?
Yeah. It's really confusing. And I've heard people say that too about like space, that there's no right side up or upside down as far as spaces. But then the funny thing is one of the SpaceX rockets that they landed, like it came in like nose down and then it flipped up like right side up. Yeah. I was like, guys, come on.
Are we kidding, dude? Like this, yeah, it's just crazy, man. And they always change camera angles all the time. They switch. And yep, all that stuff is interesting. So we have that. I think it's interesting also now. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, a voice came from heaven. Okay, so, okay, now we hear a voice from heaven, Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God is not far away. He is close. If he was trillions upon trillions upon trillions upon trillions of miles away, like he would have to be if the moon, sun, and the stars were in the firmament and his throne is outside of all these galaxies, it would kind of be hard to hear that voice. But what is it? God is close, bro. He's above the firmament, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's looking down on us like grasshoppers, like the book of Isaiah says, which I'll get to soon. And then there's 2 Peter 1:17, the same thing. It talks about a majestic glory. This is my beloved son who I am well pleased. They heard the voice from heaven. So I think it's interesting. Now, there is a verse that globers or globe earthers, I don't like to say globers, or I don't like to disrespect anybody. So globe earthers, the people that believe in the globe. I don't even think globers is even a bad word to say, but yeah. Just saying. Globe earthers believe that it points to a sphere. It's Isaiah 40, 21 through 22. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. So here's a few things about this verse. First of all, circle. is not a sphere. It's not a sphere at all. And when they translated the Bible from the Greek or from the Hebrew to the Septuagint, they use spiro. It was a word that is for they use the word that they use is for circle in Greek. Okay, spiro would be actually a word for I think it's for sphere, right? So they did have it in Greek, but in Hebrew they didn't. So they use circle. So when they translated that, they use circle, and then now in the New King James they use circle. Most of the translations you're going to see circle right there. Now if we know what a flat earth is like, it is a circle. So if God is sitting up above the firmament looking down on us like grasshoppers, which I believe, and he's basically looking at the circle of the earth, right? And it talks about he stretches out the heavens like a curtain, the heavens being the firmament, and it spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. A tent back then was a dome shape, right? That's right. What it was. It wasn't like a tent we are in today. And we put a dome or a tent on a flat surface. We don't put it on a ball or a globe, okay? So this verse makes no sense for a sphere. Now, if you look at the tent, or if you look at the Isaiah 22:18, he surely and violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. He talks about a ball in here. Okay. So he does have a word in Hebrew for ball, but he's not using that. He's using circle. So we got to understand that. And also Isaiah is, he clearly knew the difference between the two and that he chose to use that. And all scriptures inspired by God. So we got to understand that, man. So it gets interesting. So, any questions on anything that I've gone over so far, bro? We're moving right along, bro.
You're killing it.
Okay, so we have this another verse, Revelation 1:7-8. Every eye will see. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Speaking of Jesus when he comes back. Now, if every eye will see him, and you want to tell me that the way that they're going to see him is by satellites and by phones, some people, what if they don't have their phone? This verse is saying every eye will see him. If you were on an earth that is flat and Jesus comes down, every eye could see him. You know what I mean? Every eye could see him. But if you're on a globe, only a fourth of the earth is going to see him, right? So we got to understand that. So I think it gets interesting. Also, when God is talking in Revelation, he's talking about the stars of heaven fell onto the earth as a fig tree, as if she were shaken upon the mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll. Now, what is the heaven? If you look at Genesis 1:6, God called the firmament heaven. So he's going to open up the firmament like a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of its places, right? So first of all, it talks about the stars falling from heaven. If you know about what they say about stars and the heliocentric model, that the stars fell from heaven, they're supposedly bigger than our sun. That makes no sense. But if the stars are lights in the firmament and they fall to earth, it definitely makes sense. Also, if the lights in the sky that are the stars, like the book of Enoch says, and they are angels moving around in judgment, and having to move, and they're actually luminaries or angels, I'm not sure. I'm just letting you guys know. And if they fall to heaven or they fall to the earth, that makes sense. But it does not make sense in a heliocentric model whatsoever to me. Okay?
Correct.
And you can tell me that that's a dream and that's a vision. But if you go to Mark, Jesus also talks about the stars falling from heaven. So, you know, you guys got to understand that. I think it's Mark 13. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Jesus, when he was on earth, he did not sin. If you're a Christian, you know that he did not sin. So Jesus is not lying right here, because lying is a sin. When Jesus says, but in those days after tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars from heaven shall fall, he is telling us the truth. So you guys go back and study your science book and find out what the stars are and see if that makes sense to you guys in that model. Okay. So we have that. And you know what? We're moving right along, bro. We're going to go into the flood, and then we have a couple more verses and we're going to end, bro. So
cool.
We're getting close. Thank you for your patience, my brother. Yeah, I know, for sure. Thank you for staying up for me, bro. I really appreciate you, bro.
We're here, man. We're here.
God is great. Okay. So, and guys, you guys make sure to do this for me. We're going to stop the podcast real quick and tell you this. Go to Apple and go give this guy 5-star review, and make sure you guys go ahead and leave a comment for him. If he has any type of thing, go support this gentleman and their podcast, because this type of stuff, man, he's awake right now. It's almost 12 o'clock at night wherever he's at, and he's listening to me ramble about the Bible. So let's go, baby. Give him a five-star review on Apple and on Spotify. Okay, guys, do that, man, because we work hard, dude. All right, so we got Genesis 7:11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. We spoke about that earlier. And the windows of heaven were opened. Wow. So when it comes to the flood, we have three different events. It says that the fountains of the great deep were broken up. That's the first event. Second event, the windows of heaven were open. The firmament was open and the waters came in. And then the third event is that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. You show me one pastor out there that's going to tell you that it's three separate events. Now, if you have a flat earth with a dome, all you have to do is let the water raise above Mount Everest and above Antarctica. And that's it. It'll flood the whole entire earth. I think the highest point on the earth is Mount Everest, if I'm not mistaken. And I know that also Antarctica. So the water would just have to rise in this fishbowl above that, and the whole earth is flooded just like that. Now, if you have a globe, what did they try to do? It was not a worldwide flood. It was just a flood in Israel. It was not that they tried to make all these excuses up. But the Bible says that it was a worldwide flood. Okay. So understand that. And it's interesting. And getting into the flood is interesting too. When you start getting into the giants and all that stuff, that's a whole different subject, but it gets super interesting, guys. But think about that. The fountains of the great deep are broken. In Psalms, I told you guys about the fountains of the great deep. They were speaking about that. So water's coming from the bottom, water's coming from the top, because there's the windows of heaven were open, and water's coming from rain. So there's three different ways that the earth was flooded. Okay. Yep. So guys, it's not rocket science. It's really easy. But when you got a heliocentric globe and all that stuff, it becomes rocket science. It's very hard to explain. And that is on purpose. All right. So Daniel 4:11, this is actually a vision. So I don't put too much towards this, you know, but it talks about a tree, the highest tree, and someone going to the highest tree, going to the top, Nebuchadnezzar, and seeing the ends of the earth. Okay. The ends of the earth. Very interesting. I don't go too much into the ends of the earth stuff because there's a lot of arguments for that, you know, where it could be talking about people or it could be actually talking about the literal ends of the earth. So I just stay away from it. I don't even need to get into it. I have so many different verses here that I don't even need to talk about. So
wasn't Jesus tempted on the highest mountain to view all the kingdoms?
He was tempted on a high mountain, not the highest mountain. It talks about him being on a high mountain, and he says that all these kingdoms will be yours. So I think that's interesting. You know, that's another verse that you could think like, okay, well, how could he see all the kingdoms, or how could he see even a couple kingdoms? You know, I mean,
right.
He's talking about all the kingdoms will be yours. You know,
interesting. It's interesting.
Interesting. And also interesting about when we're talking about world governors and all that stuff, like obviously Satan is working hand in hand with all of them. Right. And there's probably fallen angels that are over each government. So there's stuff there, but we're getting interesting here. Now we have another verse that it's going to be, these are going to be like the up to heaven stuff, Elijah in 2 Kings 2:11. Then it happened as he continued on to talk, and they suddenly a chariot of fire appeared of horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. He went up to heaven. Okay. So it's not hard, and he didn't have to travel the crazy distances. You know what I mean? Because God's throne is above the firmament, and that's it, man. There's just, it's just between heaven and earth. Now, something that I need to get into really quick before I switch subjects to this, all the 666 stuff, is, okay, so in Revelation, God creates a new heaven and a new earth. Why would he even have to create a new heaven and a new earth if earth and heaven are not connected? Okay.
Right.
He creates a new heaven and a new earth. Now, if earth was something separate from heaven, or from, you know, like they say it is, then all he have to do is create a new earth, and that's cool. But what he does is creates a new heaven and a new earth, and it talks about heaven coming down to earth, and God is walking amongst us, and we are like, you know, it's very interesting. Read the end of Revelation. Read the end of Revelation and find out there's a new heaven, new earth. There's a reason for that. because it's connected. Okay. Earth and heaven are connected by a firmament. Okay. So very interesting stuff. So we have that. Now we have 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And for this, God shall send them strong delusion so that they may believe a lie. Now, is this that? I don't know. I know that God's talking about the Antichrist, you know, when he's talking about these verses right here in 2 Thessalonians. He's talking about the man of perdition, the man of sin, all that stuff. So let's show you guys, you know, and we know that the beast number or the Antichrist number is 666. So let's find out how many sixes are involved in this heliocentric and about the earth. So if you go every 1 mile is 8 inches square, which is the curvature of the earth. If you took eight, you divide it by 12, it's 0.66 of a foot. If you go 10 miles, it's 66.6 feet. If you go 100 miles, it's 666 feet. That's one. We also have the 66,600 miles an hour around the sun. The earth's circumference is 600 times 6 times 6 nautical miles. We have the earth at 23.4 degree axis. If you take 90 degrees, you minus 66.6 degrees, it becomes 23.4. We have that. Isaac Newton started writing the laws of gravity theory in 1666. Started it in 1666, okay? The force of gravity on earth is 666 newtons. Okay, the speed of sound is equal to 666 knots. The diameter of the moon is 6 times 6 times 60, right? As 2160 is basically the total. The distance to the moon is 6 times 60 times 666 miles. The Arctic and Antarctic celestial sphere is 66.6 degrees north latitude, 66.6 degrees south latitude. The surface and temperature of Uranus, not Uranus, is negative 6 times 6 times 6 degrees. And there's actually like a whole ton more I could go over, but I won't even do it, man. We have that. And at the very end of the podcast, I like to go over this, okay? It's Genesis 2, 1 through 4. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God created his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because it is the rested all of his work, which God had created and made. So what he talks about is that the heavens and the earth are finished. The host of them finished. He's done. It's not ever expanding. It's not a bunch of stuff, new stuff, stars being created. All dude, it is finished, bro. So I think you guys need to understand that. It's really interesting, man. Is there anything else I can kind of go over at the very bottom? Second Chronicles, fixed position. I think there's one thing that's kind of interesting is the wandering stars in Greek. It means planets, right? Which is, planets are not really in the Bible, bro. That's just something we created, right? So now I think we need to understand that. And it also talks about like in the book of Jude, like these planets are getting judged. You know what I mean? So I think it's interesting. And a lot of people think that the planets are gods, right? Romans think the Saturnalia. We have the guy that created, the director of NASA talking about, Saturn V. And then we have like the Apollo. And then we have all these different Greek Artemis and all these Greek gods. And we got to understand, man, they're paying homage to all these Greek gods, man. And they're all fallen angels, playing different parts when they're these Greek gods and Satan, you know? So
yeah,
I think it's interchangeable. So that is the whole entire podcast, bro. And the last thing I need to tell all flat earthers that are out there and anybody that's anybody, we need to worship the creator, not the created. So flat earth is important. And I think it's biblical, man. Geocentricity is definitely important. All this stuff is important, but we need to worship the creator, not the created, because you might sit there and you'd be stuck on flat earth and that's all you spread. But don't forget about the gospel. Don't forget about Jesus Christ. Don't forget that he died for your sins. He rose again after the third day. Don't forget about God, because dude, you can't just focus so much on that, man. You gotta open it up a little bit. And as Christians, we need to focus on that and bring people to God, man. That's the main thing. So thank you so much for letting me do this presentation, bro. It's such a blessing.
Yeah, such a blessing. For sure, man. For sure. This was a lot of fun.
And I kind of just wanted to let you go. You know what I mean? I wanted to leave some of the interruptions out because I know there's a lot to get into. And there's so much more, right? Like, so like, just so everyone listening knows, what Josh just went over is not all of it. Right.
No.
I mean, you could just keep going and going and going and going. You know, and it was something that I just wanted to get out there, because Josh knows it better than I do for sure. And Wits, it's really great on it too. And it was something that we hadn't done yet for our audience. So I wanted to kind of try it this time, and you crushed it, man. You killed it. It was awesome. But why don't you go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you, and we'll wrap the show here.
Okay, cool. So on YouTube, it's Josh Monday Music and Podcast. The reason why I have music in there, because I'm actually a rap artist. I haven't been doing rap lately, but I do have songs available on Spotify. If you look up Josh Monday, you're going to see my podcast, Josh Monday Christian and Conspiracy Podcast. And also I have music, you know, I have Christian and Conspiracy Rap, and I also have Christian Rap Only. So check it out. But yeah, YouTube is Josh Monday Music and Podcast. If you do follow from this podcast right here, if you could leave a comment, that way I know, you know, hey, Whiskey and Beer Conspiracies Podcast here, checking in, whatever. And I have it on Apple. I have it on all that stuff. So if you want to check that out and subscribe to my YouTube, I'd appreciate it. But like I said, man, support these guys, support their channel, this type of stuff. Man, like I said, we will work hard. I this morning I woke up at 4:30 in the morning to record a podcast for you know, to record my show. I come and do this podcast at 9 o'clock at night. This gentleman, it's probably like 12:30, almost 1 o'clock in the morning where he's located. He's working hard. Make sure you share the podcast. Make sure that you give the 5-star review. Go to Apple, give them a review right in there. Hey, just checking in, man. You guys are doing amazing. And you know, and if you like this podcast and you want to leave a review on his thing saying Josh Monday was great, whatever, I don't know. God is great. That's who's really great. But if you want to put Josh Monday did this, whatever, that way we can read and know, you know, I want to see if it's affecting you. Do you have a podcast? Is this going to be on YouTube? What is it on? Rockfin? What do you guys have?
Yeah, we have Rockfin, Rumble, Kick, Twitch.
Oh, all that stuff. Okay.
Yeah, all that fun stuff. We don't have YouTube. We got some strikes on there. We just walked away.
I understand. Yep. I try to have to, yeah, you definitely have to keep it a certain way to stay on there. But bro, thank you. And thank you, Catalyst Jones. Thank you, White Rabbit Podcast, man, for introducing us together. And if you could, bro, email me a link to buy your book, and I'll buy your book, bro.
Oh, cool. That'd be awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. No problem, man. I always do that. I like to support whoever's out there. So yeah, send me the link and I'll buy your book, bro. And I'll check it out.
Absolutely. Let you know. Absolutely, man. I appreciate that. And for all the hooligans and hooliganettes that are listening to this, all of Josh's information will be linked in the episode description when this comes out. So that has been it for this episode of Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcast. I've been Big Country. We will see you guys on the next one. Take care.
My balls are hot. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to be. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.